I've been to the little town of Nain, and I suspect that nearly every pastor has. It's not a very pretty place. It was early in my ministry. I was serving a little town in northwest Iowa when one afternoon I received a call from the local farm implement shop that I needed to come quickly. There was a problem with one of the families in the congregation. And as I drove to the shop, I imagined the very worst. There was a marital problem. Or perhaps a drug, alcohol problem. Maybe a kid was in trouble. But when I arrived, I was met by a father who had just received word that his 21-year-old son had died unexpectedly. He had just been throwing a football around with some friends, and he collapsed. And they tried to resuscitate him, but there was no hope. He died of what's called athlete's heart. After trying to console the father for a while, we needed to drive together to a neighboring town where the mother lived or worked, and to share the bad news with her. And so for the next few days, I sat with the family, and I watched and I listened as well-intentioned family members and friends and neighbors came to the house to visit, to console the parents. Their words were hard to come by. Some of their words seemed like false doctrine. Many of them were just pious platitudes. All of their words seemed empty because no one could really understand. No one could understand their pain or their sorrow or their tears, because no one else in town had ever experienced anything like this. And so it was a huge funeral. The whole town turned out. It seemed that everyone felt the loss. And I remember distinctly standing in the chancel, looking over the top of the casket, watching as the mother led the procession into the church. And later on, as she led the procession out of the cemetery to the grave, and my heart went out to her. In the weeks that followed, as we visited, she thanked me profusely for the words that I had spoken during those difficult days, even though to me all of my words seemed inadequate as well. In time, she lamented that this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. A mother burying her son. She felt as though there was now a hole in her heart, a hole that would never be filled, because she was convinced that a part of her had died that day too. I've been to the little town of Nain. A few years ago, on a trip to the Holy Land, the bus stopped at the side of the road. We never really made it into town, but there was trash lying all around. It wasn't a very pretty place. But there we read once again St. Luke's account, and it was as if I had never heard those words before. Nain is about 25 miles from Capernaum, where on just the day before this, Jesus had healed the centurion's servant. It must have been a very quick trip, because Nain is off the beaten path. It's not really on the way to anywhere. It seems to me that Jesus intentionally led his disciples and this large crowd of people to that place at that particular time. And behold, the Greek is kai idou. Luke used those words often to call our attention to something that's really important. Kai idou, behold, pay attention to this, zoom in on this, because it's important. Behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Behold, a man had died. Behold, a mother. Behold, a widow, Jesus went to Nain for her. And unless you have been there in her place, you can never begin to understand this woman's grief or her sorrow or the spiritual struggle. Because I'm sure she was convinced that a part of her had died that way too, that day too, leaving her helpless and hopeless and all alone in the world. Behold, a considerable crowd from the town. Jewish funeral customs offered very little hope and hardly any comfort. Mourners would have wailed loudly. Flute players played weird and mournful dirges, but it all was contrived. Some of them in the crowd with her tried to console her. I'm sure they did, but I suspect that their words rang hollow. And there were others in the crowd who were convinced that this was God's act of judgment against her, his punishment for some particular sin that she'd committed. And behold, Jesus. He went to the little town of Nain just for her. This wasn't a coincidence. I'm sure he clearly planned to be there. Just at that moment when those two crowds came together, one coming out of town on its way to the cemetery, the other on its way in, and Jesus stepped between them. And there he saw the mother. His heart went out to her. Luke said the Lord had compassion on her. And maybe this is one of those cases where it loses something in the translation. Maybe this is an understatement by St. Luke. His guts went out to her. This wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Jesus felt her pain. He felt the grief that sin and death had brought into the world and into her life. And he had come to Nain to do something about it. Jesus isn't a fan of funerals. And so he interrupted this one. He walked to the grieving mother and said, "Do not weep." This wasn't just a platitude. So often we say those words because we feel uncomfortable with someone around us crying or weeping. But his words meant more to us and to her than anything anyone could say. He stepped to the bier, and the bearers stood still, and these two crowds came to a stop facing one another and Jesus in the midst of them. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And at his command, the young man sat up, alive. He began to talk, and I've often wondered, what was it that he wanted to talk about at that moment? It probably wasn't chit-chat about last night's hockey game. He wanted to talk about Jesus. He wanted to talk about the powerful word that he had just heard, a word that has power to comfort those who mourned, a word that could change and did change their sorrow into joy, a powerful word that had raised the dead. At Nain that day, the two crowds became one as fear seized them all. Of course, they were awestruck. They'd seen a miracle, and they didn't know at first how to put this all together. They began to say, "A great prophet had risen among us." They remembered Elijah and Elijah, who had also raised children who had died. They remembered the promise that Moses had given, that God would raise up another prophet like him. And after all these years of waiting, they were convinced that now the promise of God was coming true. And then they confessed, "God has visited his people." Truer words than they ever could have imagined for indeed God incarnate had come to Nain that day. Oh, I've been to the little town of Nain, and I'll go again, and you will too. It's not a pretty place. As many of our friends and our loved ones have died, and the crowds have come to comfort and console us. One crowd, the secular crowd, has very little, nothing to offer. Don't weep, they say. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, they say. But their words are empty. There's no comfort, no hope. It's almost as if they've come to accept the fact of death as part of life, which is ridiculous. Well, it's easy to get used to death. We watch the news and we become numb to the numbers of the casualties today. But Jesus cannot stand death. He hates sin, and he hates all the consequences of that sin has brought into our life, all of the guilt and the shame and the sorrow and the tears. Jesus hates death, and so he came to visit his people. He came the only son of a father. He came to take our sin. He came to die for us on the cross. He came to rise again on the third day, conquering death and the grave once and for all, including us. He came to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He came to give us life. Behold, Jesus, who says to you in your times of sorrow, don't weep. And his words mean more to us. When our family and loved ones have died, he makes a difference as we face their deaths. Yes, there's sorrow, and there are tears, and there's appropriate mourning, but not as others do who have no hope. For in fact, Jesus can change our sorrow into joy. We've been to the little town of Nain, and we will all likely visit there again. Some years ago at a pastor's conference, the speaker handed out blank death certificates. And each one of us was instructed to fill out that death certificate, putting in all of the details, when and where and how we expected to die. And it shouldn't come as any surprise. We all envisioned the same thing. We'd live to a ripe old age, and then we'd die peacefully in our sleep. But it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes death comes suddenly, violently, accidentally. Sometimes it comes slowly and painfully, sometimes to old people and sometimes to young. But the fact is that someday a crowd will carry us out to the cemetery as well. And behold, Jesus. He'll be there too. And his powerful word will ring out across the cemetery, echoing off of all of the gravestones, reminding us of that day when Jesus wept. That day when he gave the powerful promise, I am the resurrection and the life, he said. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, he said. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die, he said. And what comfort that will offer to our loved ones on that day. Someday, he'll come to that cemetery again. And on that day, he's going to speak that powerful word once again. Arise, he'll say. And we will sit up and stand up and begin to sing and dance and praise God, but we will behold Jesus. We will see him face to face. And on that day, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. And on that day, Nain will be exactly what its name means, a beautiful place. In the name of Jesus, amen.